And you know, I think you guys that know me, I do know the Lord, and man, he talks to me a lot. He speaks to me a lot. And I started writing this stuff down, not even knowing, using my big chances in the summer when Mark goes on vacation. And he left early on me, Miss Terry. He left early. And see, Lord had me preparing before I even got a chance to know I was going to preach. So what the Lord's been really dealing with Vanessa and I both about, as you get a little older, huh? Now some of these young folks around here, they may not see this yet, but as you get a little older, Bryce, you can nod your head on this. This thing we walk around and called our body, it tries to do things for us that we don't want it to do. Is that a fair way to say it? My mama say a hitch in the get along. Is that a good way to say it, Mama? I got a hitch in the get along here, and a yah mule. But as we get a little older, there's things that Father God has made us respect. Now this is for everybody, but especially our older folks in the building. And Father took me on a journey and showed me things that were just so simple. And it's almost like, Lord, really? Yeah, this is how I planned it. This is how I planned it. He said, I'm an equal opportunity Father. He don't make it hard. He said, I make it easy. So the title of my sermon this morning is Here. Everybody got this? Here and be healed. That simple. Here and be healed. Here and be healed. Say that. Here and be healed. Here and be healed. Here and be healed. Here and be healed. All right, sweetie. Sit down. We got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to get through it. Where you at? Yeah, there you go. Thank you, sweetheart. I love you. All right, so it started early with Father. It started early, all the way back in the book of Exodus when he was trying to get his kids out of slavery. The children of Israel, get them home. Get them back to the land he promised Abraham to. And he talks way back there in Exodus chapter 15 and 26. He says, hey, if you'll hearken diligently to my word. Now think about it. Moses ain't wrote that down yet. I mean, so they're just going to go on what Father tells Moses. Okay. Think about it. The Ten Commandments hadn't even happened yet. Think about that. Listen to what I say. Hearken diligently to my word. Do right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments. And he said that none of the diseases that the Egyptians are going through, none of those diseases will come nigh thee, come upon thee. Then the famous verse that blesses us all that have heard it, he went on to say, I am the God that healeth thee, a.k.a. also known as Jehovah Rapha. Think about that. Think about that. If he says something about himself, man, it's got to be true. You know what I'm talking about? Just think of the simplicity of that. If God says, I'm the God that healeth thee, call me Jehovah Rapha. J-R for short. Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth me. Say that. My Jehovah Rapha. Now, this goes back 3,500 years, folks. This ain't something that just came around. 3,500 years ago, Father God said, if you listen to what I say, lend me your ear, do what I tell you, I will heal you. All this mess the world's going through, you won't have to go through it because the Egyptians represent the world, see, all the plagues and all the mess that they were catching in judgment, which is what this world is facing these days. All right, let's think about this. Now, come on, put your thinking cap on. Say, I'm a thinker, and I hear very well. Father God has never changed. He's never changed. And Malachi said, I am God, and I change not. Now, think about this. If he changed, that means he wasn't something before, right? That's what I'm saying. In other words, I used to think that you just get better and better and better. He goes, no, you just get closer and closer and closer, Matt, and you see more and more and more. He's the same as he was in the Garden of Eden, as he was in the wilderness with the children of Israel, as he is today, right now. He is the God that heals you. If you listen. If you listen. and give ear. We're going to talk about it. Hopefully we get there. Incline your ear to my sayings. Come on now. Who's y'all got to listen to this. I feel like I'm up here giving $100 bills away, because this is how important this is. I'm giving money away this morning that will change your life forever, that you won't have to get sick. You won't have to walk through the mess that this world goes through if you'll do the very simple things that Father has asked us to do. He has never changed. He's always been perfect in all his ways. He will never change. He's always been in the state of perfection. If he did change anywhere along the way, then he wouldn't have been perfect. He said it about himself, so it can't be a lie. Let every man be a lie. God cannot lie. That's why you see people, thus saith the Lord, you'll be dead in 20. No, he didn't say that, fool. He wouldn't say that. Come on. You don't know him. You don't know him. Because if God said you're going to die, you better stop talking and go dig a hole. Because he's not going to say that mess over you. He only says, he don't even think evil thoughts. He's planned your end out, and it's an acceptable end. But why are we not receiving it? Because we ain't heard right. We ain't heard enough. We ain't listened closely. We ain't got it down in us yet. But it can be done. It can be fixed. You can hear and be healed. I'm going to try to shuck the corn this morning if I get a chance. All right, calm down. I can do that, mother. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus comes along, and we know what Jesus did. He preached the kingdom of his Father. He preached the kingdom. He wants the will that's in heaven to be done in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, why would you pray that if everything that's going on around here is his will? Come on. If sickness is God's will, give it up, man. Go absorb some more of it. Learn all you can, brother. No, sickness is of the devil. Every sniffle is of Satan trying to kill you. Remember the woman that was bent over with the issue in her back? He says, why has Satan done this to this daughter of Abraham? Straighten up, sweetheart. Sickness is of the devil. Foul spirits of sickness and infirmity are of the devil. And they're not meant for any property of fathers. So it's time to hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. I'm going to say it 1,400 times if I get the chance. Hear and be healed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, way back yonder, way back there, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. That's Jesus right there. That's Jesus in the desert. You just ain't seen the baby yet. Jesus Christ was always the Word. John says that the Word was God with God. The same at the beginning was God, the Word. And that Word is the light of men. Now, when I would hear that up until this past week, the Lord would show me when he talks about his Word, the entrance of his Word bringing light, what that means. Oh, I can see now. Yeah. No, brother. No, son. No. I'm giving you something. I'm giving you something to see that I'm telling you. I'm showing you things to come. I'm showing you what is about to happen. I'm putting light on your situation that you'll know what to do. Listen for your next command. Get out of town, Leroy Brown. That's it right there. That's it. It ain't just because I can see in the room I'm in. No, it's to see what's coming down the road and stop it in its tracks if it ain't what's yours, my Lord. So Jesus goes around teaching. He goes around helping. He goes around preaching the kingdom of his Father. Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease. Wow. Now I asked the Lord, what did you preach? He said, for the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me, because he's anointed me to preach. Well, okay, I know he said that. I know he said that, and you'll never take that from me. But I got to poking around a little bit, and everybody knows Kenneth E. Hagin, Papa, Father, Kenneth Hagin, the dad. I know Eric Thomas. You've met him before, and your brother. I was reading and just looking at his life and some of the things he's done. He had a vision of the Lord. He asked the Lord the same question. What did you preach and teach to get all these people healed? Isaiah. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to recover the sight to the blind. Then he goes on to say something. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. No, your eyes. No, your ears. It's fulfilled in your ears. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Your ears. Yes, you saw things, especially as blind, but it was fulfilled. This scripture is today fulfilled in your ears. Wow. Wow. Jesus told him, every place I went, the first thing I did was read from the book of Isaiah to teach identically the same truth. Woo, that's a blessing. Those who would hear and receive would be healed. Those who would not receive it, would not hear it, were not healed. Say, so how do you know that? Well, he did it in his own town. He came to his own town, and they wouldn't receive him. He could do there no mighty miracle. People say, Father God, Jesus, they only did those miracles to prove their deity. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. I'll fight you in the dirt over that. No, they didn't. Because if you in your hometown, come on, I've known you since I was 8 years old. Come here. I'm going to zap you and you're going to see. No, no, no. He could do no mighty works in his hometown because of their unbelief. They wrote him off as a nut and said, isn't this Joseph's son? They didn't hear and they weren't healed. And it's a sad thing that that's the account we got. You know, it's like I went to my hometown, brother, and nobody would listen to me and nobody got what I had. I fixed a couple of sniffles, a few minor miracles, nothing mighty. And he knew these people since he could walk and talk. And that's something. They did not listen, they did not hear, and they were not healed. Well, let's talk about some people who did. Turn to your Bible, Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Now, how do you think they had that fame about him? They heard something. So much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes. That's a bunch of people. A multitude, singular, is a bunch of people. But great multitudes, that's huge. That's something right there. Great multitudes came together, and if you underline your Bible, to hear. They came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. They came to hear. They didn't come to get healed. That was a byproduct of them hearing. My God, can you see this? If you see this and you live this, you'll experience the same. They came together to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. My Lord. You turn the page, Luke 6:17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain. I picture, again, Lord, show me this. A big field. I'm talking about think of 7 football fields. Think of, if you hadn't seen it lately, Billy Hinn preaching in Africa. And the drone shot is so high, it literally looks like 3 cities. There's so many people. Really, it's probably 40,000 people. I don't know how many this is. Whew. Luke 6:17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem. Now catch this, I had to look this up. And from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. Do a quick Google search. How far is it from Tyre or Sidon to Judea? 100 miles. 100 miles. These people came 100 miles and they didn't, you don't know they didn't have no vehicle. You know they didn't have no car. They may have had a 3-legged donkey to get there. I don't know. It was a big deal to get 100 miles 2,000 years ago. Big deal. That's literally like us going to outer space now. Really. It's that hard. They came from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and be healed. There it is again. There it is again. Hear him and be healed of their diseases. But wait, there's more. Look at the next verse. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. Now think about this. How long did it take to get 100 miles 2,000 years ago with on foot? That's week two. I mean, if you make 20 miles a day, that'd be something. That's a week. That's 5 days right there. But probably you took longer than that. You walked 5 days just to hear somebody. Because we've heard about him. We've heard about him. Remember the little lady with the issue of blood who was trying to pick pocket of healing? She heard about him. She heard about him. And something happened inside her. It's called faith. Something happened inside of her. You mix faith with his anointing and something's going to explode. Something's going to happen. It reminds me of putting ice in an engine block without no antifreeze and let it get cold enough. It's going to bust something. You let faith mix with his anointing and it's going to tear something up. Now that's what was happening, folks. Wow. So notice in Luke 5:15, And Luke 6:17, that the multitudes came to hear me heal. So, question. Does hearing have anything to do with being healed? That's the question. Who's going to answer me? Yes. 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 Healing has everything. See, here's the problem. A lot of people want to get healed, but they don't care too much about hearing stuff. Woo, come on now. And it's sad because people like that seldom get anything from God. How'd you get born again? I'm spitting up here. I'm glad you ain't too close. How'd you get born again? You heard something. You heard something. You heard something. Blessed are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and glad tidings of joy. Blessed are the feet of them that brought you, sweetheart, this message, because you will not be. How will they hear without a preacher, it says in Romans 10? First of all, how are they going to call on anybody they ain't heard about? How are they going to believe in somebody they ain't heard about? How are they going to get anywhere except a preacher? So blessed be them feet. Ooh, Lord. And you know what, Lord, showed me and kind of brought a tear to my eye. That sweet little lady that brought that alabaster box and broke it on Jesus' feet, she knew something. Because the feet of that person brought her whatever healed her and fixed her and made her a different woman. You have to hear something. You have to hear something, my Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, big sentence here. Big sentence here. Big sentence here. It's what the Lord told me. Y'all ready for it? Who's ready for it? Everything you are, and everything you hope to be, up to and including your eternal existence, will be determined by how you respond to God's word. You say, "That's I don't know about that, man." No, you tell me something different then. If you don't believe that, then you ain't a Christian. Because unless you hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, the blood of Jesus that cleanses you of all sin and iniquity, that puts you right at the right hand of God in him, you'll never make it there. You'll never find that place in him. Everything you are, up to and including your eternal existence, you are a chip off the old block. You are made in his image. You will spend eternity somewhere. You will never die. They'll put this body in the grave at 100 years old or so if Jesus don't make it back first. But your spirit, you're made in his image. You will live forever somewhere. Let's make sure it's the right spot. It's so easy to hear and be saved, hear and be healed, hear and be prosperous, hear and be wise. It's so easy. It's so easy if you get in the flow, if you get in his presence, if you open up to him and let him teach you, it is so easy to hear and be healed. That's what we're talking about this morning. Woo! The most important thing you ever do in your existence will be respond correctly to Father God's word. Look here. All your beliefs, everything you believe today, all your beliefs are based on influences from voices. Say, no, it's not. I just listen to songs on the radio. That's voices. Everything you are, all your influences, what you believe, what you base your whole how I think on is based on voices. It's crucial that you expose and hear the truth. You got to know what's really going on. You got to know it and discern the differences between the voices. This is what the Lord said. Voices feed us. Voices feed us. Voices will feed you. Voices create strongholds. Voices cement ideas in your mind. It influences you at your very core. Voices will feed you. It's how we're wired. Job 34:3. Neat little tucked away verse. Lord brought it to my attention. For the ears test words like the tongue tastes food. Ah, that's something there. How about that? How about them apples? Your ears will taste food like your tongue tastes. Your ears taste words like your tongue tastes food. That's almost a tongue tire talking about that. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words are what sustain me. I'm telling you, voices feed you. Voices feed you. Voices will feed you. So hear and be healed. Your words are what sustain me. They are food to my hungry soul. They bring joy to my sorrowing heart and delight me. How proud I am to bear your name, O Lord. That's what Jeremiah said about it. Hearing the Father's word will bring faith to the listener. Now think about this. Think about this. It's impossible to please him without faith, it says. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. For those that come to me must believe that I am, just like he told Moses, who do I say sent me? Tell him I am, because I never change. I am everything. I am everything you need. I've always been that. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to send my son, who was the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. He was in the, all through the old covenant, we say, and the Lord came unto so-and-so say, it's Jesus. The word was with me. The word was with me from the beginning. The word was God. And when you receive Jesus, guess who lives inside you now? The word. That's what the Lord said. He said, Matt, it's astonishing to the Father that my children find it so hard for me to talk to them because the very word with a capital W lives inside them. And then he broke it down even more to me, Jeff. He said, now think about this too. He's not in your pocket like a big pen. He's not in your back pocket like a wallet or car keys. He says, in fact, don't laugh now. He said, you're a big boy. He told me that. He said, Matt, you're a big boy. He said, I'm not saying there's more of me in you, but for my brain to impose on your brain, it's got to be a foot taller than most people on the planet. His brain is superimposed on your brain. His lungs, his hands are superimposed on your hands. If the Holy Spirit is in you and Jesus has come to reside in you, you ask him in your heart. I always thought he lived in my heart, like a little Jesus in my heart. Doo, 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 little Jesus. Y'all seen little things? You want a little Jesus? I found one at the grocery store. I mean, at the gas pump, my little Jesus. Vanessa, she loves her mama's Jeep. She loves her mama's Jeep. She's always borrowing it and not bringing it back. Well, finally, my mother-in-law said, I want my Jeep back. And Jesus took her little Jesus with her. She said, well, if I'm giving you your Jeep back, I'm taking Jesus with me, her little Jesus. See, I thought there's a little Jesus in my heart. That's the door. That's where he's knocking. He's knocking at the door. Think about this. Why would he knock if we don't have to do something on the other side of that door? You got to hear and be healed. You got to hear and be saved. He's knocking on the door of your heart, and that's the entrance. Then you let him in. He starts flooding and filling the hole inside of you, where so much so that his brain is imposed on your brain. And why is that hard to understand? He wants to talk to you. You got the word of God living inside you. Woo! Ain't that something? That's good news. It's something. He talks to you all the time. Lord told me one time, he says, Matt, every time you tell me that you love me, I tell you that back. He said, and I write it down. I says, why you write it down? Because most time, here lately you've been, most time you didn't know it. You get there one day and it'll be a big book of all the times you told him that you loved him. And he didn't realize or you didn't realize it. And you didn't hear him. And it's date time. You told me, one time he told me, Matt, you've told me 17 times today that you love me. He told me that. He said, I wasn't counting. He said, well, I was. He told me 17 times today that you love me. He said, if you knew all the billions of people in the world that don't even know I exist, let alone call themselves Christians, that don't have anything to do with me, he goes, that's special to me. It's special to him, Jeff, when you tell him that you love him. It gets next to him. It does. It gets next to him. But let's hear more. Let's hear more. All right, I can tell you right now, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. Oh, Lord, we got a bunch of notes to hear. All right, hearing Father's word brings faith to the listener. Romans 10:17, that famous faith scripture that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, I looked that verse up in the Wycliffe Bible, and it talks about the word of Christ. Now, Christ was not Jesus' first name, or last name, however you want to say it. Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. That was his title. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me because he has anointed me. The Christ is anointed. In other words, if you see something in the Bible, this Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, Galatians. Christ has redeemed. Yes, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. But Christ is the ongoing power of who he is. I can do all things through Christ. Think of it as his armor, his persona. What made him Jesus, Jesus Christ, now is yours. Christ, it takes Christ every day to redeem you from the curse of law. It takes that power every day. The words of Christ. Now, we got to figure this out. You got to know this. This is very, very important. There's two words in the Bible called logos. Everybody heard of that? Rhema. Have y'all heard those two words? Tommy, you've heard of Rhema. Rhema Bible College. Yes, sir. Logos versus Rhema. Logos versus Rhema. Those two Greek words. The word logos Think of a log file, a daily log. Think of God's word being dots on a page that form words, letters, and words. It's God's word, logos. Now, rhema, that's where we all want to be. In fact, Lord was joking with me. He said, Matt, serve them a big old fat, double juicy rhema burger this morning that they can't. He'd be burping at 2:30. Burp. I'm talking about greasy, anointed with the oil of my Holy Ghost. A big triple double decker rhema burger that you can't quit tasting after you've already eaten it that will change your life forever. Holy Ghost in my legs shaking, Jeff. I got to calm myself down up in there. If I take off running, I got my sneakers on this morning. Serve it up. Say, what in the world is rhema? Rhema is the spoken word, the personal word, the word made alive. My God, the anointed word by the Holy Ghost. Words that were once ink on a page are now becoming Father's voice just for you. If nobody else ever was in the world, he said it to you. He said it just for you. Ink on a page goes from words inside a Father's voice, my Lord. It said, hey, you're talking to me. Say that, hey, you're talking to me. It's that moment. It's your moment. It's your moment. Say, I got a moment with my Father, and he's talking to me. And when he starts talking to you, guess what just came with that? Faith. It's like, Jeff, you can't please me unless you got some money. Here's some money. Now, please me. That's what the whole thing is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he's like, listen to me, hear and be healed, and get some faith. Now, just please me with it. It's simple. All right, his word will always bring peace. Blessed are the feet of them that bring the gospel of peace. Peace. And peace always precedes healing. Lord, show me this. The chastisement of his peace was on us, so that, let's add those, it's okay to add those two letters, those two words in it, in Isaiah, the chastisement of his peace was on us, so we could have that peace, so that by his stripes you were healed. Peace always precedes his healing. Peace is his rest. You can rest in what he said, knowing that you've heard healing is coming. All right. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you a little secret here. He's our great shepherd. He's a shepherd. And if he's the shepherd, what are we? We're sheep. We're sheep created in his image. We're sheep. We're clones of the shepherd. We're made in his image. But we'll never get out of the following role. Okay? Like my brother said, he's not a herdsman driving cattle. Yah, mule, yah, 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 mule. He's not that. He is a sheep shepherd. He's sheep's shepherd, and we must follow him. And you got to follow him. He said, my sheep, they know my voice. They know my voice. They hear it. They know it. And the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. So picture yourself up on a big old grassy green hill. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by side the still waters. And just figure yourself and then you got this noise of a devil, or this noise of this world, the noise of something you shouldn't even be doing, definitely not following. I don't follow that. Because, see, the devil is always shouting, always screaming, always saying, always offering, always tempting, trying to draw you away of your own lusts so he can get you out from under the care of the shepherd. It's a trap of the devil. It's a trap of him. He says, listen and hear my voice, my words, my sayings, and no one else's. That's it. I know I've listened to the Lord about a few things. So I'm at work, right, and my hard drive's getting full. And so I said, well, I better get my personal files, which is my little sermons. I got six or eight. I got four or five. I try hard at this. We're getting good at this. Lord's going to show me how to do this. I'm going to get good at it. So I downloaded all the files off on a thumb drive, right, laid it to the side. Well, hard drive's getting full. Then IT came, gave me a whole new computer, got plenty of room now. I went to put that thumb drive back on the computer. Burn, dead. It's dead. Lord. It's got my Volkswagen stuff on it. Pictures of the car shows. It's got all four of my sermons. They're precious to me. What do I do? He said, here's what you do. I'm at my desk. Take that thing and put it in the freezer. What? Put your thumb drive in the freezer, son. Watch. Okay. So I took my thumb drive, throw it in the freezer. I went back to my desk. He said, wait, no, wait, wait. Go get it. He said, no, wait before you put it in. Pull one folder at a time. He said, because it's going to quit on you. He said, and you know what to do next? What? Go put it back in the freezer. So here I am at work, putting my thumb drive in the freezer, getting files, thumb drive freezer. Finally, my guy's work says, what are you doing? He said, I'm getting data off this thumb drive. What? Yeah, look at this. Well, you know what they said? Well, how did you know to do that? Well, let me tell you how I knew to do that. I said, the Holy Ghost told me. He lives inside me. He's always trying to make life easier. He's always trying to help you. And if you let him, he'll help you. Okay. You listen to the shepherd's voice, and the snares of the enemy will not cause you to have problems. See, Job esteemed God's word higher than food. I said, oh, I don't know about that. He placed on them higher priority than eating. It says in Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Think of that word, lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. See, words from God's lips and mouth equals rhema. I'm talking about you can eat on that. You can feed on that. It's time to feed your spirit on God's word and get full. That's what time it is. We must esteem the value of his words and sayings higher than gold. Uh-oh, wait a minute. See, that's what a lot of people don't realize. This world's full of people that have chased after dollars, got the promotion, got in deeper debt, stressed their body, and attended their own funeral early. It happens. I'm talking about pressures of this world, cares of this world. We're going to talk about it if we get that far. It kills seeds. It stops the promises of God from flowing when you're so much pressure and strife in your life. You got to esteem his words higher than gold and physical substance. Psalms 119, therefore I love your commandments, Father, above gold, yes, above fine gold. Now this is it. His words must be first place and final authority in our lives. What you're full of, you ready for this? What you're full of is what you flow in. You can write that down if you want to learn something. Think about that. That's one of them afterwards. That's that Rama burger coming back to help you there a bit. What you're full of is what you flow in. And what you flow in is what will come out of you. And it will determine your beliefs, past, and ultimately the outcome of your life. What you're full of is what you flow in. And watch this. Faith is the pipeline. It's a pipeline. It's a conduit that Father's power flows through to reach and meet your needs. The heart in the Bible, the heart is the interface between the soul, spirit, and body. This is where the issues of life, which we're going to get to, I hope, time permitting. This is where the issues of life flow through that pipeline. Hearing Father's word expands, lengthens, and strengthens this pipeline. You got that? Faith is the pipeline. So what do you have, a little hose pipe? Or you got a water transmission line? Come on now. Because, see, the more you hear, the stronger it gets, the bigger it gets, the longer it'll reach. All right, so we got to hear. We can't have critical ears. What does that mean? You can't have critical ears. Critical ears. That's what the Lord said to me. If we look at Luke 5:17, just write down from where I was earlier that the multitudes that done walked 100 miles, if you will, heard what they had to hear and received what they needed. Even the unclean spirits that were vexing them had to go when they heard the word of God. Come right down from it, 4 or 5 verses next to it, Luke 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees. The Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now watch this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So he's going to do his, again, he's got one big trick, if you will. The Spirit of the Lord God's on me because he's anointed me to do all these wonderful things. This day, this scripture will be filled in your ears. The power of God was just as much there to heal them than it was to heal the multitudes that walked 100 miles. But did they get healed? No. No more than the people in his own hometown did not get healed. The power was present. Now, I'm going to put nothing on you this morning, but the power is present this morning. The power is present this morning. Now, did they get healed? No. Why? They were critical. But think about this. The boy that tore the roof off got healed. Remember, that was a story where the boy was paralyzed and his buddies tore the roof off of Jesus' own house. He was in Capernaum. That was, because it says, and Jesus was in the house. That was his house. Lord, to me, that's his house. He was in, tore the roof off the carpenter's house and let the boy down because he believed so much. He said, I see your faith. Get up. But before you get up, your sins are forgiven. Suck all the oxygen out of the room. Critical ears. Critical ears will never see a healing of God. Critical ears won't get Father God's attention. It won't. Sorry. Wish it did. Wish it did. Wish it did, but it don't. I'm going to show you another story. How are we looking on time? I'm trying to get through this. And if I could, okay, it's just 11:35. We're doing good. All right. Y'all know there's two stories in the Bible about a blind guy, two different blind guys that got spit in their eye from Jesus. Did you know that? I didn't know that. And I've been preaching it for 25 years. There was one guy. Y'all don't laugh at me. The Lord said, I was just waiting to see when you figured all that out, son. That's why he talks to me. He said, I've been watching you preach it. Now, you're preaching good about it, but you got two people confused. He said, now, let's get this straight, okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a story. I'm sorry. I don't know why I told that. There's a story in John 9 where, remember Jesus made the mud pies? Remember that? Remember the mud pies at the pool of Siloam? Remember the guy didn't have his eyeballs. He made the mud pies. He said, go wash, okay? But there's another story about a guy that hadn't got sight that gets spit in his eye from Jesus and gets his eyes fixed. Who knew that? Mama, you knew that, didn't you? Jeff knew that. There's two stories about that. I'm so sorry, I didn't know that. I was in a jail going, and he grabbed him by the hand, and he took him, and he washed his eye. No, you got the two stories mixed up, Matt, but you got people saved with it nevertheless. Thank you. But let's get it straight today, and let me teach you something about it, and let you teach some other people about this. So let's look at, real quick, Mark chapter 8, five little old verses, 22 through 26, okay? Bethsaida is where we're at now. Not the pool of Shalom, Siloam, S-I-L-O. Not the pool of Siloam, but we're in Bethsaida. And they bring him a blind man. Now, they was the crowd around him, the people. If you look up above a few verses, they say, show us a sign, show us a sign. Come on, come on, show us a sign. Pull a rabbit out of his hat. I want to see. I told my son you could do this. Hey, turn this water into wine. I heard you could do that. They're wanting to see a sign. They want to see a sign. They want to see a sign. And they mean well, but they're missing it. Why? Because they ain't hearing it. They're not hearing right. They're not hearing right. But he finally gets down. They cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man and besought him to touch him. So the crowd's saying, hey, wait. Okay, he's not going to, I'm making this up, just work with me. He's not going to pull a rabbit out of a hat. Okay, he's not going to walk on this mud puddle over here. But hey, that's a blind guy, Hey, bring that blind guy. Let him touch him. He heals everybody blind. Come here. Hey, Jesus, look, blind guy, look. But you touch him. Oh, sister, we want to see something. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but you're going, you got the cart before the horse. You're not hearing. You got to hear and be healed, right? So, this is so fascinating. Think about this. They cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind man and besought him to touch him. Now, watch this. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. What? He led him out of town. Well, no, wait. No, Jesus, Jesus. Hey. I'm going to be Peter for a minute. Jesus, come here. Look, if you take this guy, because he needs his sight, and I've seen you do this, I can't count many times. Heal this guy right here. No. If you heal this guy right here, all these people, they'll fall on their face and just be yours forever. No, come here. In fact, Peter, I'm making this up. Work with me. Y'all stay here. Give me his hand. You're blind. Okay, take my hand. Come on. Hey, I'm going to get you out of this noise. I'm going to talk to you a minute. Woo, gets to me. Look, what they're after is a sign. I didn't come to show a sign, but I came so you could hear the word of God. And I am his spokesman in this earth right now. And if you'll listen to me, we're gonna get you out of this town. Get you out of this noise so you can hear. You can hear, right? Yes, sir, I can hear. You just can't see, right? Yeah, you can't see. Okay, let me get you out of here. Come on. Where are we going? Well, I got to get you out of this town. Look, I just want you to know that my position now, the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty is on me. There's a book, Isaiah. You've probably never seen it. You've been blind a long time, haven't you? Well, it says in that book that the Spirit of the Lord God's on me because he's anointed me to heal you. But you got to hear it first. You got to know who I am. And you got to do something real simple called believe is true. Okay? And we're not going to make a spectacle out of you to prove a point to these unbelieving people. So let's walk. Let's walk. And he told him all the things he needed to hear for him to hear and be healed. Now, it gets deeper than that. It gets deeper than that. He spit in his eyes. Wow. Now, what the Lord showed me, he's done that again. I got this straight, Mama. I got the, for a long time I had the stories backwards and confused and wrapped into one, and I'm sorry. I'm repenting of that. Anytime Jesus uses spittle to perform a miracle, it's a creative miracle, okay? One guy, he put mud pie in his eyes. I don't think he had no eyeballs. I don't know if the Lord showed me. This guy was missing optic nerves and problems. He had the eyes. They just weren't working. The spit. See, if you go all the way back to Genesis, God spits in the ground and makes a man out of mud. He formed out of the dust of the earth. How do you get dust to form together? It takes moisture. It takes water. Dust and water makes clay, right? And I can just see Father God spitting in his hands. Yeah, but we even do that. We go, we're spitting our hands and rubbing together. That's a chip off the old block, Jeff. Now we fix it. Do something. We fix it. Chop this tree down. What do you do, Marty? You spit in your hands, you rub them together. Whack! Oh, you hit that axe in there. That's God making Adam right there. And Jesus followed in suit of that, and he used his spittle. He stuck him in one man's ears. I think he formed some eardrums. I think he did. He was doing a creative miracle by spitting in this man's eyes. But let's keep reading. He looked up. He said, he asked him if he saw. He spit in his eyes. He says, hey, can you see anything? Now, that's Jesus asking somebody, can you see anything? Can you see anything? Can you see anything? What's he doing? He's getting him to confess that he's healed. Do you see that? Jesus knew what he could see and what he couldn't see. And this is the famous story. He says, well, I see trees walking like men. What does that mean? That means something ain't quite right. And for years, I've heard it preached that Jesus might not have been on his game that day. Think about it. He had to get that guy out of town. And it took two prayers. No. The guy hadn't gotten in his position to hear enough to be healed enough. Do you see that? It's vital you see that. So then he said, he put his hands on him again, right? He said, double dose of the Holy Ghost. Hold still. We're going to do this again because you are going to see. You are going to see. Made him look up and he was restored. He saw every man clearly. Isn't that beautiful? That's Jesus working with him. Now, watch this part. Verse 26. And he sent him away to his house saying, don't you go back to that town. And whatever you do, don't tell anybody about this in that town. Why? I believe he'd have lost it. I believe he'd have lost what was. Because he's shaky on it. I see men walking his trees. I see men. And that's why I think, Lord's talking to me right now. He said it has something to do with his brain and his optic nerve seeing. It wasn't that he couldn't see. It's he wasn't seeing right, but he was blind. And it's coming. It ain't there yet. And he could have been talked out of it so easily if he'd have heard other than hear and be healed what he needed to hear. Who sees that? It's important, guys. Jesus had to get this fellow to hear something that would allow healing to flow. What time is it? This is where my sermon would end anyway, because this is kind of two sermons in one. See, the others are begging Jesus to do a sign. Jesus said, don't go back. Don't. Whatever you do, don't go back to that town. Don't you do it. Go to your house. Go to your house. And don't tell nobody in that town what happened to you. Don't. Why? So we'd keep it. So I'm going to briefly, because I'm out of time almost, I want to break this down and see how we can apply this to us today. And it's in Proverbs 4 and 20. Remember what I said in Exodus? Started this whole thing out 3,500 years ago. Hearken to my words. Lend your ear to me. Do right in my sight. Do what I say, and I'll be your Jehovah Rapha. Well, it even gets better in Proverbs 4:20, he's calling you his son, my daughter, my child. Lord to me, says, man, he said, tell him. He goes, people that are wanting to hear my voice, memorize these four verses. They're easy to memorize. They're not hard. They're not hard. And say them out loud. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. They're hearing my voice right there. Because the first thing, if I ever get a chance to talk to somebody, is going to be, listen to what I say. Listen to what I say. Because what you respond to determines everything moving forward in your life. My son, my daughter, my child, attend to my words, just like he said in Exodus. Incline your ear, hearken to my voice. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now, sayings are a little different than reading the Bible. It'll start with reading the Bible. Logos will go to Rhema. Rhema burger. Rhema burger with extra Holy Ghost onions on it. You think, you're crazy. Good, you remember me. You remember a crazy preacher quicker than you remember a boring preacher. You will. You'll remember me. Rhema burger. You got to chew on it. You got to chew on this. You got to meditate on it. Incline your ear to my sayings. My sayings are more than my written words, saith the Lord. My sayings is what I've said to you. It's go put your thumb drive in the freezer. I was in the jail one time, and I was doing my thing. The Lord was anointing me because he sent me to preach the good tidings of peace to those that were bound and set at liberty and opened the prison doors, whether they're behind bars or not. Bryce, you remember. And I'm sitting there, and picture a cafeteria-type setting with block walls, and it's the most awesome natural reverb there has ever been. The Lord told me, he said, they built this place, I think, in the 40s or 50s. He told me when it was. He says, Matt, I heard you singing. I heard you singing as they're laying the block in there. He said, I knew it'd be 1998 before I really heard it, but I heard it. I heard you singing. And you can sit here, no microphone. Jeff, you've been there. No microphone. I get that little flugelhorn of mine, kind of mellow that thing out when I could calm down and play it soft. And literally, you thought I was in Carnegie Hall. And I know the Lord blessed me because the mistakes I made, I don't think nobody heard them, Greg. I don't think anybody heard them. But I was in that jail one time, and I was doing my thing. I'm singing a song. I'm thinking what I'm going to talk about. I'm watching the crowd, make sure they don't jump on me or something, whatever. And there's a guy at this end of the cafe. It's cafeteria tables. They're bolted to the floor, and they're painted four times. They're about six colors and from the wear and tear of the paint on them. So one guy's down here, and one guy's over here. And I'm singing. The Spirit of God's moving in that place. It's melting hearts, cheaper than a Walmart candle. I'm talking about, it's just, you know how it is. I've seen them come in their underwear. And leave so wet from tears, you think they took a shower. It just, because of the Spirit of God, that's why he came, to set at liberty those that were bruised and open the prisons and recover the sight to the blind. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And I was sitting there. I see an older guy and a younger guy. And I'm I'm singing. I'm praying. I'm hearing the Lord's voice. I'm doing up four things at once. All of a sudden, they start moving closer together. Okay, it's all right. Okay. Because when the Holy Ghost will move on to women, they get into one ball, like a bait ball in the ocean. I mean, it's like they're all together. The guys, when the Holy Ghost moves, they all get in a corner and face the wall and get under the table. You know, it's just different, men and women. You know, women cuddle, men separate, you know. So they're walking, they're getting closer and closer. And next thing you know, they're holding hands. Oh, my Lord, they're holding hands. Oh, my God, I'm singing. Da-da-da-da-da, playing my horn. They're holding. Oh, no. One's got the other one's head on his shoulder, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm fixing to tear this devil up. You know I can do this. Just turn me loose. And I heard the Lord say, whoa, stop. You do what you know to do. Let me do what I know to do. You keep doing what I'm telling you to do. Yes, sir. So I did my thing. I don't think they ever quit holding hands. Through my whole sermon, through my whole altar call, through everything that we do, we did at the jail. 21 years we did that. After it was over, still holding hands, I think, Mama, they come up to me. I wanted to introduce you to my son. What? Yeah, this is my son. We got in a knockdown, drag out fight last night, knocked the windows out of the house, and Mama called the law on us. We have buried that hatchet. We are born again now, and we want to thank you for your ministry. And the Lord was just laughing at me. He said, you about messed up, boy. Hear and be healed. hear and be healed. I'm going to show you one more point. Let's just at least read this. And the next time I get to preach, we're going to pick up right here. Proverbs 4:20. Let's at least read this. My son, attend to my words. Lean in, incline your ear to my sayings. Not just what I had written down, but what I'm telling you. Rhema. Let my voice go from ink on a page to an inward voice in your spirit. All right. Now, let them not depart from your eyes. What does that mean? Well, like I was saying earlier, the interest of his word brings light, and he'll show you what's going to happen. Jesus said, only do the things I see my Father do, right? He'll show you what's going to happen. That's why it's so important to pray and not just rattle off a prayer. No, talk to the Lord and then just sit still a minute and listen. And then like all of a sudden, I'm being a little facetious, but I'm telling you the truth, I start getting this huge desire to write these big checks to ministries. And I go, Lord, I know that's not the devil telling me, and Vanessa ain't even in this room. That's the Lord speaking to you, okay? Why? Because his brain's in your brain. Your brain's in his brain. The word of God's in you. The word. Now, I'm not saying he's going to tell you to write huge checks to ministries, but he might say, I need you to call so-and-so. Hey, tomorrow at work, watch out. Or I've had him say, hey, when you go to work this morning, you need to go that back way because the interstate stopped. And I look on my ways. Oh, it is. Yeah. It makes life real, okay? And it makes Jesus even more real, okay? Okay? I'm telling you, pray. He said, now look, he says, let them not depart from your eyes. What does that mean? Remember when Peter wanted to walk on the water? He says, hey, that looks like a ghost out there. That's what one of them said. No. Peter said, I think that's Jesus. No, it ain't. Well, look, I'm going to see if I can come out there with him because if it's a ghost, he ain't going to let me come. Hey, Jesus, if that's you, come. Let me come out there. What did Jesus say? Come on. What did Peter do right then? Lord, show me. He saw himself doing the same thing Jesus was doing. He saw it. He was not letting that word come out of his eyes until he saw something else, the wind and the waves. You see how this works? That's works. His words brings light, and light brings a sight picture. It's like I'm being a little silly. He can't help but show you the future because he's in all times at the same time. So he's, I'm being a little silly. He shows you things that are going to happen when you spend time in prayer. Wow. So this is the most important thing I could tell you, and we're going to stop right here. My son, my daughter, my child, attend to my word. The biggest deal, sometimes the hardest part, is showing up. Now, come on now. Showing up. And that's where, if you listen to my brother's sermons, it's vitally important to show up. Attend to my word. Attend. So you can't incline your ear to his sayings. You're not even going to hear no sayings if you don't show up. You've got to be interested. The process begins simply by showing up and being interested in him. This is where I'm stopping right here. See, a lot of folks, and this is sad now. For instance, think about it. Let's say we're going to have a week-long nights of preaching meetings. But on the last night, we're going to have a healing service. So what do you think a lot of people would do? I'm being a little silly. Show up on Friday night. Show up on Friday night. See, a lot of people, they want to barely get close enough and brush up against the Lord to get the touch, just a touch. That song, he touched me, oh, he touched me. No, he spoke to me, oh, he talked to me. Yeah, that song should have had that in it. It's more than a touch. Ask the guy at Bethesda why he had to walk from here to Concord, wherever the next city was. He had to hear something, hear and be healed. See, people just brush up against the Lord, and just a touch, if I just like that lady, I just want to touch. Come on now. You need more than that, brother. You need more than that. Just get a touch of what they need when they think they need it. See, there's another thing. You think you know what you need when you need it. You think you do. You think you do, but you don't. I don't. We don't know what we need when we need it. Only he knows what we need when we need it. And then they're off again to live their lives. Oh, just a touch. And I hear, Father, it don't work that way, guys. It don't. It don't. He's a father that needs his children to stay with him and hear him and listen to him. He's a shepherd that's got to have the sheep close behind. See, this goes back 3,400 years when he first told us his Jehovah Rapha. That fell in Bethsaida, he needed more than a touch. Think about it. He had to have more than a touch. Touch wasn't enough. Wasn't enough. You say, but yeah, that lady touched his hem. She'd already heard. She'd already prepared. She even said out loud her voice, if I can just touch him. If I can just touch him. I know who he is. I done heard it. The fame's done spread abroad, and I know that fella right there, if I can get up close enough and touch him, I'll be healed. She says, I can't go out in the crowd because I've got this issue of blood, a female disorder that the law of the day says if you go out, you're in trouble. So I'm going to sneak out, and I'm going to pickpocket me a healing because I know if I can touch him, I will be healed. That's different. She heard, and she followed through, and she was healed. But these people says, nah, you know what? I'll find time. Keith Moore tells a story. I'm going to stop. We're not 12 yet. It's 4 minutes. Keith Moore tells a story. And I'm going to recommend you this. You got to hear to be healed. The easiest, quickest way you can hear and be healed is look up on Victory Channel, Keith Moore Faith School. He's got faith for healing, faith for prosperity, faith in general. Hear and be healed. You can get full quick because you can't just hear once. You've got to get full so you can keep what you've got, what's been given to you. You can hold on to it. Keith Moore talks of a story where he was having healing school and he was preaching and talking and teaching about the Father always using Jesus and hearing and being healed. And this couple come up and they were in good spirits. He said, but yeah, we just got a bad diagnosis. I think he said my mom or my aunt or somebody right here has a bad diagnosis, this fatal cancer. And, we just want you to pray for us. If you will pray for us. He goes, okay, I'll pray for it. Then he says, look, we're going to be, having another message here in another couple of hours. In fact, this piece will start real soon. Why don't you stick around and hear some more? He goes, no, we got to go shopping. What? See, and if I had to guess, in her mind, he prayed for me. I'm good. No, you're not good. You've got to hear something. And if I had more time to talk about it, it's preparing the soil for the seed to grow. Four different types of seed falling on soil, on different kinds of soil, only 25% of them worked. And had nothing to do with the seed, but had everything to do with the person. You see where I'm going with that? So for you to get what you need, you got to stick close and stay close and hear what he said. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Let him feed you. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's never, never one time let somebody down that diligently, diligently sought after him. He always rewarded them, and he wants to reward you this morning. So, did any of that make any sense to anybody? All right, well, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He loves you. He loves you. I guess we'll dismiss right here, and if I get to do this again, we'll dig deep into Proverbs 4:20, show you some of the things that the Lord has shown me about maintaining that pipeline, keeping things open and flowing, having him where he can, anytime he wants, talk to you, wake you up, nudge you in the middle of the night if he needs you to do something that will change your life. He's only about your interests. I'm telling you. He wants you well. He wants you to hear and be healed. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for your word. Father, by faith, we esteem your word more so and higher than food itself. That's why you fed the 5,000 with the loaf and the fishes, because they had put your word above their own stomachs. And you said, we got to feed them, and you did. Father, we put your word above good gold, high value gold, Father, because we know when we get your word, we get everything, and in it is prosperity, and in it is the way of our lives. Father, we thank you that we will attend to your word. We will incline our ears to your saying, and we're not going to let them depart from our eyes. We're going to keep them in the midst of the good soil of our heart. And then we'll know that they're life because we found them, and they're health to all our flesh. Father, we're going to keep our hearts. We're going to guard them with all diligence. For out of that pipeline are all the issues of our life.